Well, good morning, Vineyard. It's good to be with you. I'm going to let you all in on a little secret here. I've got three Bibles on my stand today, so you better get ready. I don't know what else to tell you, but we're going to open God's Word together as we continue to experience Him in our midst. And so if you want, we're going to continue to be in Matthew. You can use a Bible. You can use your Bible app. And we're really glad that you're here. As we transition from just singing together, receiving what only God can give us. I mean, communion is one of those places we're reminded every time we gather. We show up needy. And the reality of being human is we all need what only God can give. And we probably show up needing God to give us something unique and different across the room. And what an incredible thing that we can come to Jesus, experience His Spirit, which is His promise to us, and receive what we need. So if you're showing up today needing something, welcome. You're in good company. I'm showing up needing something today too. And that is what it is. And that's the opportunity we have as we open God's Word. I want to let you know about two specific ways that you can be a part of meeting needs beyond this Sunday service. And so when we respond in worship by giving financially, it's your kindness and generosity that stewards seeds of God's kingdom being planted. And we've got a couple opportunities coming up. We have an all-church work day. Information's on our website. Go to events. You can see that. Come. Just invest some time together here working the property, putting in a fence for the kids' ministry and some other things that we're excited about. Additionally, we are going to feed families this Thanksgiving. We love our partnership at Carlston Elementary. We love the families and the kids that are there. We are committed to proclaiming Jesus to the next generation, and we're going to do that by providing at least 60 Thanksgiving meals. So all the information you need is in the lobby at our display, the info there, it's on our website, and I just want to say thank you. You have already responded in an incredible way, and I'm grateful that we're going to get to say yes to that together. So there's many other things happening. We're moving into the holiday season. You need to be paying attention. The schedule is going to be great. Every Sunday starting after Thanksgiving is going to be a little bit different. We're going to kick off a series reading through the book of Luke together. And so as we open the Word and move into the time of preaching today, I want to let you in on something. This is what a Bible looks like, not on your phone. This is what a Bible looks like that is a free gift from the Vineyard to you if you have never been given a Bible. We are going to be on a journey through a lot of 2026 where we're going to just take time as a community to read through a couple books that help form the scriptures that are God-breathed, that are good for us. And there is a table in the back of this room, if you're with us today, if you're online, come join us in the weeks to come. We'd love to give you one too. But I want you to take this as a gift. Make sure you write your name in it because it'll look a lot like the other ones people take. And I want you to enjoy reading this in community in the coming year. I want you to realize that the invitation of Jesus that we're going to see in the scriptures today is to know the Word for your life, but do not keep it to yourself. We do not want to keep the good news of Jesus to ourselves, which means it's not an independent, isolated faith journey. It is one that God will do things in our life, and He says, share it. Give it away. Teach the Word. Teach people to know and obey my commands. That's what we're going to see in Matthew 28 today. So I want you to know, before you leave today, you are free to take one of the Bibles in the back and write your name in it and bring it with you week in and week out and read it day in and day out. And if you are committed to the phone and to apps, use the YouVersion Bible app. It's free. It's right there. And that Bible you don't take will be for somebody else who's coming and joining us on the journey of following Jesus. So let's open to Matthew 28. We are in the same four verses we've been in. And today the title of my message is Know the Word. Know the Word. And this is not just know the Bible, it is know Jesus, the living Word. Know Jesus, the one who proclaims an invitation to obey his commands, to know his voice, to know the word that he is speaking to you day in and day out. And so Matthew is one of the four books of the Bible that kind of recounts the life of Jesus as it was lived here on earth. It's what opens up the part of the Bible called the New Testament, depending on how familiar you are with the scriptures. And this is one of the accounts that helps us know who Jesus is and what he's up to so that we can follow him with confidence and we can know the way he's asking us to live. And so we need to know the word. We need to know the scriptures. So here's what it says. Matthew 28, starting in verse 16, says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Last week in my talk through this same text, we talked about compassion. And I anchored the compassion of Jesus to a key word, and it's about proximity. That when we look at the life of Jesus and the commands of Jesus, the commands of Jesus move his disciples closer to the need and closer to other people. He says, "The authority is mine, but the action and the sending is through my disciples to the people you are close to." So I just want you to think about your life right now as you live it. Who are the people you're close to? If you want to make it real awkward in the room, just look at the person next to you. Uh-oh. See, the call of Jesus is right there. And you might be like, "Well, I came alone today." Look at the person next to you. The call of Jesus is right there. For those of you fortunate enough to have a job to go to tomorrow or later today, it's right there. For those of you fortunate enough to be able to go to a grocery store and buy groceries week in and week out, it's right there. If you're in school, it's right there. There are people around us all the time. And the authority of Jesus to those who have found his love and who are willing to hear his voice and know him, the Word made flesh. Jesus is talking to us to say, "Know me, and I want you to teach others how to follow me. I want you to teach others to obey my commands." I think he's serious, do you? I don't think this was just some like pep talk to like not go do it. You're convinced also. I can feel it in the room today. The thing that we have to recognize today, church, is we need greater proximity to Jesus in our life if we're going to teach people to obey everything he commands. And we need to increase the proximity of our life so we realize it's not just an ancient dead word, it's a living word, because he's speaking to us right now, aligned with the scriptures, that he has fulfilled all of it and he will speak to us so we can obey his commands. And the reason we can teach people to obey everything he's commanded is because we will set a good example. And by the way we obey everything he's commanded, people will believe we are trustworthy when we open our mouths to begin to speak, because the way we live our lives is worth following. Uh-oh. You ever had one of those teachers that says, "Do as I say, not as I do"? How many of you love those teachers? How many of you love those teachers that are like, "I know how to talk about it. I have no bone in my body that lives about it"? Is that the teacher you want to follow? Could you just imagine Jesus shows up on the scene? He's like, hey, pray for the sick. I never pray for the sick. Hey, you know what? Like, my authority is to cast out demons, but I actually don't ever do that. There's no demonstration in Jesus' life. He doesn't go to the cross. He doesn't sacrifice himself. He doesn't lay down his life. He doesn't yield to the Father's love in obedience and say, your will be done, not mine. So then to follow Jesus means we will actually look like Jesus because we're close to Jesus. And the thing we want to go teach everyone to obey his commands, we get in line first and go, God, teach me to obey your commands. Let me depend on you, Jesus, the living word. Because what we see again, we've been reading Matthew 28 over and over and over again. For those who are following Jesus, first thing we do is we come under his authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. So the first thing we have to do to obey him is to come under his authority. We have to surrender and yield. Then we come into his way of living. The patterns that he lived with, the patterns he teaches us to obey, must become the patterns of our life. Amen? So we come under his authority, we come into his commands, and then we come with his promise, I am with you always. So wherever we go, we believe he's with us. Whoever we're talking to, we believe he's loving and reaching and calling for. The proximity of Jesus here on earth must increase in the church because we are getting closer to Jesus and we are asking for more of Jesus and we are taking Jesus where we go, everywhere we go, to everyone we see and encounter. It's about proximity, which is why we're giving away Bibles, because we want you to draw closer to his word, to know his word. So you can preach his word. And I've been feeling this for some time, and I like to look at the world. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It doesn't. It actually causes me to feel a lot of sadness. And I look at the world and I go, there's so much pain. There's so much hurt. There's so much struggle. And as I was thinking about us here at Vineyard, as I was thinking about this text that we've been reading week in and week out, you know what it calls me to? If we're going to teach people to obey everything he commanded, it's rather simple. Obedience begins with us. Obedience begins with me. Obedience to Jesus Christ begins with me. It doesn't begin with the world. It begins with us, the church, who are professing faith in Jesus. It's actually a call on us to live in such a compelling way, people would go, teach me to live like you live. Teach me to follow Jesus the way you follow Jesus. You're different. You're navigating life in a different way. Not that you have less struggle, not that you have less pain, but you're experiencing your life different than me. Teach me how you do it. Teach me how to follow Jesus. And my guess is if we took a poll of the church, a lot of us would go like, I don't even know how to do it, man. I'm not great at it. I struggle at it. And that's the point. We never graduate from our dependence on God. We never graduate from our neediness and our need for God. But we can increase in our surrender and our humility to say, do more in me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. It's his power, not ours. And surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. His promise is he will always be with you. You are not alone. We have his power and we have his promise. And here is what the sandwich in the middle is. It's a sandwich of transformation. We discover how to live in his patterns. His patterns. Not my patterns. His patterns. That's how we obey his commands. Let me give you a real practical example of this. I'm going to start where it's easy. Have you ever been invited to dinner with a friend? Anybody ever been invited to dinner? Just a show of hands. I want to see how calm in the room is. Okay, we need to invite some people to dinner, folks. Y'all need to figure out how to do that. That's on you. But it's funny. You have a friend invite you to dinner. They pick the restaurant. They pick the time. They go, hey, I would love for you to come to dinner. We're going to try out this new spot. We're going to do it on this day, on this time. And amazing percentages of people say yes to an invitation like that. Like your hand just went up, probably 80% of the room. Statistically speaking, 80% of people would attend church if invited by a trusted friend. 80% of people who do not attend church will come with you if you invite them and are a trusted friend. Both matter. We, as followers of Jesus, should be the most trusted friends because Jesus is showing us how to be a trusted friend. Jesus is showing us how to be transformed, how to receive from Him, how to draw from Him. We can be trusted friends, and I want to tell you right now, it'll be really hard to talk to someone about the theology of heaven and hell if we're not willing to take the first step and go, I don't know how this works, but come with me to church. Just come with me. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to follow Jesus. Come to this mountain with me. Jesus said He would be there. I'm not so sure. He was dead on a cross. The tomb's empty. I don't know where He went, but maybe we should try it out. That's actually what's happening in Matthew 28. They trusted Jesus spoke a word to them. They show up probably unsure. Remember, some doubted. So if you invite a friend to come to church and you have some doubt, that's okay. Just sit close by him and go, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. 80% of people who have not found their way to a local church community would say yes. If a trusted friend says, come with me on the journey, that's actually what Jesus is talking about here. As we learn to know the Word, all we have to do is share the part of the Word we know. Obedience begins with us. Invitation is alive and well. And when I think about knowing the Word, when I think about knowing the Scriptures, we can get hung up on all the stuff we don't know. And the most freeing thing is to say, I don't know. I've never thought to ask that question. That part of my faith life is underdeveloped. But I'm glad we're walking together because now you will help me grow my faith where I hadn't asked that question yet, and I can help you grow your faith where I've already been on that part of the journey. Because obedience has to start with us as those who are following Jesus, because Jesus was obedient even to death on a cross. Our mission is to model and obey following Jesus so we can teach others to obey. And I want to be real clear. It's not my job to teach everyone. It's not my job. And I want to be real clear, following Jesus is not an independent exercise. Your faith is all about all God wants to do to restore you to wholeness. And then He wants to multiply that out in so many more people's lives. And I think He's serious when He says, therefore, go and make disciples, which is followers of Me, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Let me try to give a practical example of how this works. And then I'm going to connect a couple other parts where we see another one of the Gospels give us insight into what Jesus is commanding us. One of the great joys I've experienced over the last kind of year or more is getting to read the Bible out loud with other people. I highly recommend it. You're going to hear me talking more about this. And some of the people that I've been reading the Bible out loud with are younger than me. And let me tell you what happened for me this week. I was sitting in a room with some high school guys, and we're reading the Bible out loud together, and we were in John. He goes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is one of the other books of the Bible that talks about Jesus and his life, tells it from his perspective. And we were reading out loud, and I want to tell you the passage of Scripture we got to. Okay, this is like, I'm going to try to give an example of why we need to know the word and how then we apply the word so we can obey everything Jesus commanded us. So I'm sitting in a room with some high school guys and we read the Bible out loud together and we're in John 15, if my memory serves me correct. And this is where it starts in verse 18. Reading the Bible out loud, high school guys. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. This is the words of Jesus. And we're like, great. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Good news. Here's an interesting invitation strategy. Hey, come to church with me so the world can hate you. Okay, so let's keep reading. Jump down a little bit further. Jesus saying, whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law, they hated me without reason. So not only do they hate you, but they hate you without reason. They have no good reason to hate you. There's no good reason for the world to hate Jesus because Jesus was perfect. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the scriptures that were in their law. He was perfect. He healed. He cast out demons. And yet it says they hated him without reason. Have you ever been hated without reason? It's like the worst because you try to solve it. You're like, this doesn't make sense. There's no reason this person should hate me. There's no logical sense to it. So I'm sitting here with the high school guys and we're reading the Bible out loud and we're looking at the words of Jesus. These are in red. That's how I know they're the words of Jesus. What do you do with that? Well, one, don't be surprised if the world hates you. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded. You know what was so helpful to me? The week before, we had read the verse that comes before that. This is my command. Love each other. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. His command is to love each other, and that precedes his observation that you will be hated if you follow him. The reason we need to know the word is that we can start connecting with the living word, Jesus, and we can understand his patterns for how we live our life so that we can navigate all the chaos and all the struggle that the world will throw at you, which is why we need redemption, which is why we need a savior, which is why we need to hear the words of Jesus over and over and over again so that the words of Jesus, this is my command, love each other, will be a source of strength in the midst of hate and oppression and pushback so that we can be a trustworthy people who live different than the world that hates for no reason. That we don't just get in and start to mimic the world and try to push back in our own power and strength because we know all authority is whose? It's all authority is Jesus's. Who came and yielded that to the cross for the forgiveness of sin so that we could be made whole, so that we could discover the life we were always made for, and then we can share with great hope the good news of Jesus to our friends, and that we as a community can grow in obedience so that we can know the word and we can live the word and we can model the word that is Jesus Christ so that the earth becomes more full of heaven. Do y'all see the connection here? And right now, this might be about your marriage. This might be about your parenting. This might be about the workplace drama that you are fed up with. And you step in as a person of peace and a person of hope who is living the commands of Jesus. Because your anchoring is not in the circumstances, but it's in the promise that Jesus says, I will always be with you. Your dependence is not on your strength and power, but on the authority of the living God who says, I will fill you. It's on his patterns to navigate a world that hated him for no reason. We need to know the word. But I want to be really clear. We cannot assume Bible knowledge is equal to relational dependence, where we listen for the Word of God to meet us in connection, in surrender. John 15 talks about abiding in Christ. We cannot be Bible know-it-alls without understanding that the indwelling work of the Spirit is that then we would live on earth like Jesus, so that the love each other command is saturating every time we say, learn to obey everything he commands. That when you experience hate coming at you, you don't let that be the definition of who you are, because you've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about next week. John's gospel opens this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 13, 17 says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. As Jesus teaches his disciples, he's washing feet and he's talking about serving and laying down your life. And he looks at his disciples and he says, look, it's not just about knowing it, it's about living it, it's about doing the things that Jesus does. Teaching is about modeling. Teaching is about living a life that's worth following. John 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. Be immersed in his life and his love. Learn to obey all of his commands. And teach everyone who wants to see that life you're living lived in them. Teach them to do the same thing. Because Jesus says in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commands. So how are we doing? Forget the world. Just Jesus loves the world. That's why he came. It's in good care. How about you? How's your world? How are you doing in finding life in Jesus? Are you obeying everything he commanded? It's hard to know everything he commanded if I've not gotten closer to the account of his life and his commands. So here's the challenge I want to put in front of us as a church. We were made to have community with God and with one another. And I believe the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, are an incredible gift to us on our faith journey. And they were meant to be read in community. They were meant to be read out loud with other people because we are on a journey of following Jesus together. It is good to read the Bible personally. It is good to read the Bible alone at times because that's what we need. If we are not reading the Bible in community, we are missing out on what Jesus has for us because we need each other. We need to hear the faith stories of one another. We need to see the perspectives of one another. And so my challenge to us is that as I read Matthew 28, I'm going to read it one more time. I want you to listen to how individual, singular the language is, or how plural and communal the language is. Okay, just listen. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Does the language read singular or does it read plural? It reads plural. The entirety of the mission of Jesus to his followers reads plural, which it includes you. You need more than yourself for the journey. There are people around you who need what you have to share with them. And I want to see us grow as a church, making more and better disciples of Jesus, because one of the practices and patterns of our faith story is to read the Bible, to know the Word, and to read it with other people. To read it in community, with a friend, with a coworker, with a kid, with a student, with a small group, with someone, somewhere, over time, so that we can know the commands of Jesus. Amen? That we can know the Word, and it not just be a word that we know of, but it's a word we know in life and in deed, so we can be a trustworthy people that when we invite people to come on a faith journey, they go, "I want to follow you. Yes, I would love to come find more peace. Yes, I would love to come find more of God's presence. Yes, I would love to come and find more of God's power for this life, because turns out this life is hard. I don't have what it takes. I don't got this." And you go, good news, all authority is Jesus's. And his promise is to be with you. And everything in between, he is working out. Everything in between, his power and his promise is his work in us and through us. Amen? Let's stand. All right. Y'all been so kind to sit there.